This is Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hardim. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Well, good evening. Another week under our belt. Mark, you're a little skittish this week, I must say. I did a lot of raising cash. I'm seeing a break in a lot of charts and not a whole lot I want to buy. In fact, not much I want to buy other than a T-bill, believe it or not. T-bill's yielding 5% these days, so there is a place to park your money. It is a bull market, don't get me wrong. This market is going to work higher. But, you know, typical annual corrections of 10%, you know, wouldn't be of any surprise. It is a normal occurrence. Market down about 4.5%, 5% from its current peak, in fact, all-time peak. We'll see. Apple, have you seen that stock? Ouch, not looking good. That's one of the old generals. Google came back looking better. Meta looks okay. Tesla, not so much. Ouch, that's down 50% from its peak. And I got shaken out of my Coinbase Global. I had a small crypto trade on, and it was Coinbase Global. And the thing's got octane. When it goes and goes fast. And now I was just using some basic technical analysis to hold the position as long as I could. But once I got a break in trend, I had to exit the trade and respect the charts and respect the process. It's all about process and money management. I can't stress that enough. You got to learn to manage money if you're a portfolio manager, which of course you're not. You're a listener at home. But if you want to have more money, turn up your radio. That's what this show is all about, helping you build and maintain wealth. Work, save, invest, repeat. Remember that line? Work, save, invest, repeat. I'll have to write some music to that and turn it into a jingle and it'll be more memorable. It doesn't flow as well off my tongue, but that's what we want you to do. You want to work, save, invest, repeat. And then when you retire, you get to play and spend, but you got to continue to invest and repeat. And the key is when you retire is try not to spend more than 4, maximum 5% of your financial capital. And if you're growing it properly, you should be just fine. The key is don't run out of money. Mind you, Jack, we have a few, acquaintances that, in fact, do want to sort of die broke. They want to spend it all to make sure they don't leave anything on the table.
Yeah, the one caveat with that is, Wolf, is life expectancy is 82, but you really don't know when you're going to die. Maybe longevity is a real risk.
It is a risk, I agree. The good Lord, only the good Lord knows. Anyways, you know, I'll tell you what's also interesting, and our next guest is going to really help us parlay into this subject matter, and that is the world of speculation. And it's funny because speculation comes in many forms, and when you see new participants in speculation, participants that normally would be way on the fringe, and I'm gonna buttress this, you know, from a grandmother or grandfather entering a market of some sort for the first time, to teenagers participating in the world of speculation. And that's taking place in crypto. Zach Pandel, he's managing director research at Grayscale Investments. It's the world's largest digital currency asset manager. Welcome aboard, Zach, and it couldn't be more timely for you to spend some time with us here on Hi-Fi Radio.
It's terrific to be on with you. Thank you so much.
So you are in Connecticut. Is your company private? Because I have not heard of your company.
We are a small private company, although the largest cryptocurrency asset manager in the world. We run a range of digital currency products, including the largest Bitcoin ETF product in the United States.
Very interesting. So my son, Elliot, he is 20, and him and his cohorts, they are doing that Gen X thing only, and I guess in a Generation Z fashion. They don't bathe. I'm sort of kidding, but I'll have some fun. They don't bathe. They stay up god-awful hours late in the night, glued to their computers nonstop, headsets on, in a odd, unique zone, and massively engaged. And I saw that with Gen X as they were creating dot-com companies. But the speculation in the late 90s around anything dot-com, anything website, anything tech was through the roof. And that's why the NASDAQ peaked at 5,000, 5,200 March of 2000 and took about 20 years to come back. But I see the same story, Zach, unfolding in the land of crypto.
Well, I would say we did have a period of hot markets in 2020, 2021, but it's important to remember that we had a huge crash in crypto starting in late 2021, driven by very aggressive Federal Reserve rate hikes, which, you know, and a sort of bursting of a bit of a credit bubble in crypto markets, and had a long crypto winter. It took us 2.5 years to get back to all-time high prices, which is roughly where we are now. So I think, you know, there every market has periods of, you know, of hot and cold, or in crypto, we call them summer and winter periods of speculative excess, and when that gets unwound of the market. I think that we did have a very large unwind of the marketplace in 2021 and 2022, and crypto is very healthy, balanced, well-positioned for the future today.
So, again, I had a great little tutorial on crypto, the way you are trading, investing, participating in it, Zach, from Elliot, the kitchen block. You know, we have one of those block chopping blocks in the middle of our kitchen. He came down with his stickered, loaded Mac, and had it open with one of his trading platforms live, showing me what was going on. And so he gave me the 101. He said, "So here's what you have to do. There's 4 or 5 major exchanges, each." Crypto exchange has its own listings on it, some dual listing, but mostly on their own exchange. And each exchange has its own token. And so therefore, you have to go from a secured wallet to an unsecured wallet where the gangsters are lingering, hoping that you make a slight keystroke error and they can scoop out your money, which has happened to his friends. You exchange, take your US dollar, you go to a place like Coinbase Global, you buy then I think he has some telecoins, you know what I'm talking about, Zach. And on that exchange, he can then participate in some of these offerings. And he said, you know, when the new ones come out, they basically immediately all go up. And I say, why? And he says, well, if the narrative is right and if the people behind it are right, they work. I said, what do these things do? He said, well, some don't do anything. Some are just complete garbage, but they're worth $300 million market cap. And they trade at all kinds of weird hours during the day. So I want to throw all that now over to you, Zach, from what I've shared with you. How much truth, how much fiction? I'm going to hope hopefully mainly truth. My kid's not lying to me. Not that he hasn't. but as such, as a money manager, with that round-the-clock notion and with all this frenzy, high-frequency trading to, you know, 3 shifts at the office managing the portfolios, what are you doing?
Well, a lot to take in there, of course. But let me just say first that, you know, crypto markets, digital asset markets have a rich ecosystem of institutions, of participants, exactly like the traditional financial system has broker-dealers and hedge funds and pensions and insurance. You know, we have in exchanges, we have that same rich ecosystem of participants in crypto. Grayscale offers regulated products in an ETF wrapper, for example, that function exactly the same as any other ETF product that your listeners may invest in, and they are bought and traded in brokerage accounts, in retirement accounts, in taxed in exactly the same way as traditional assets. And so we think that any investor can confidently invest in crypto, and at Grayscale Research, we are here to help with that process. Let me just mention the technology, though. You know, the tokens are traded. There is a tradable asset. That's one of the things that makes this this area special. But the underlying technology are public blockchains. And this technology represents the next commercialization of the internet. You know, you've watched as an investor how the internet investing has played out from email, the web, and smartphones, and broadband, and Wi-Fi, and a huge stage of things that have gotten us to a place where we all spend most of our time online. Public blockchains are just the next stage in investing in internet commercialization, and the tokens represent that. So this is the kind of thing that we try to explain to investors, help them understand the underlying technology and all the investment products and risks that you describe, and would love for anyone to reach out to us at Grayscale to help through that process.
So your product, your crypto funds, shall I say, or pools, which gives you diversification and quote-unquote professional money management, which is good. Do the ETFs ultimately trade that on the major exchanges? In other words, can my clients buy your ETFs through me and my accounts at Canaccord?
Yes. So the Bitcoin product, it trades on the New York Stock Exchange, and it is a highly liquid ETF, just like any other ETF.
Sorry, is that just Bitcoin? So it's just basically a derivative of the Bitcoin price movement?
Yes, your clients can think about it exactly
so,
as
so like the GLD. So yeah, like ETF. the GLD, right? Yeah,
exactly.
No, that's
GLD
good.
Is we say rocks in a box. Bitcoin is just like that. The ETF holds underlying Bitcoin.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of rocks in a box. I just keep thinking about Warren Buffett who said, you know, if the Martians must be just looking down on us human beings, saying, "What are they doing? These people? They take stuff out of the ground, and then they put it back in the ground." This doesn't make a lot of sense.
But hey, now we just mine things digitally, Wolf.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, that's just it. That's where digital assets are akin to safety assets like gold because it's an alternative. And, you know, for those who don't believe in the system and monetary printing and yada, 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 I get it. And tell me something just out of curiosity, Zach. I often compare the crypto market in aggregate to the gold market in aggregate. And I think the gold market with all the gold stocks out there and the likes, I think it's about $2 trillion market cap. Do you have any idea what the total market cap is of all crypto assets right now in the world?
Well, first off, I'd say that only Bitcoin is a gold-like asset. The rest of crypto has different use cases and should be compared more to technology stocks or other things. Bitcoin has a market cap of $1.2 trillion today. The gold investment gold market, excluding things like jewelry, is a $6 trillion
market cap
today.
Good work.
And so, you know, my expectation would be that, you know, Bitcoin has multiple trillions in total addressable market.
I can see it. Yeah, and I can see it. We're going to delve in further into some of the products that Grayscale has when it comes to crypto investing. I also want to talk to him about the wild, wild west nature of the market, i.e. Kids trading crypto and not paying tax. And we Canadians, certainly the 1%, continue to look at the Canadian budget that is going to continue to tax equity and any kind of equity at a higher inclusion rate. That's right. Grandma's cottage could be exposed to that. $250,000 in excess capital gains is now going to be taxed at 66% inclusion rate as opposed to 50%. And if you need help on that subject matter, call Jack and I at wolfgangklein.com. We're always here for you guys and gals. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, friends of the Wolf on Bay Street. We're going to take a quick break, pay some bills, get right back to the show right after this.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto.
It's a long one, baby. It's Kryptonite. Three Doors Down. My grunge era is back. I wonder if they knew about Kryptonite and cryptocurrencies. No, they're probably Superman fans, as was I. Remember Superman flying around with... but he hated Kryptonite. That took him down, right? Hey, Zach Pandel, he's a managing director in Connecticut. His company is Research at Grayscale Investments. It's the world's largest digital currency asset manager. In other words, it's the world's largest crypto asset manager. I don't know where to continue with you, Zach, because there's so many points I want to talk about crypto trading. Let's just start with the word tax, that three-letter word. I know Americans don't like tax probably as much as we Canadians do. We just pay more than you do. But this wild, wild west tax-free trading, when are the authorities going to get their hands on that and say, hey, we want a clip? Or can they not because it's sort of like a global exchange? But I do know in Canada, you are supposed to report worldwide investments and activities back to the government. But the kids, I don't think, are doing that.
Well, certainly for, you know, any investor should be paying their taxes. Absolutely. You should, you know, investors are required to pay taxes on any capital gains in crypto products, whether that happens on a crypto exchange where you have to do some of the recording and reporting yourself, or whether it happens through a brokerage account product like we offer, in which case, you know, all the normal tax filing and accounting for capital gains and losses happen along with all your other brokerage account assets. So that's one reason why certainly more sophisticated investors prefer to hold crypto exposure through things like an ETF, because they can deal with all the tax issues either using a retirement account or a traditional brokerage account in the same way that they would with all their other investments. Well, certainly, that's one of the big advantages for me.
It's funny because I again, and speaking to my son, I just know him and his cohorts, these kids who are trading, and some have tiny accounts, but I've also heard some of these kids have run their accounts up to in the millions of dollars. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm hearing of 20 somethings who have run their accounts up north of a million. I'm going to say 10 million. I find it almost impossible to believe, but 10x move on some of these names. I repeat, a 10 times move on some of these crypto names can happen. Have you seen it happen in a day where a thing, an emoji, whatever you want to call it, a token or a whatever, pops tenfold in a day, Zach? You must have.
There is a wide range of crypto assets, and I think, you know, Bitcoin is really where people should start, and maybe Ethereum, the second largest asset.
Agreed, yes.
These are assets that have about 40% volatility, which puts them in the middle of the range of, say, the Magnificent Seven stocks in the U.S. market.
Well,
so,
put.
You know, lower than Tesla, a little higher than Google, for example.
Interesting.
There's a wide range of other assets in the market which should be considered much higher risk, and I think investors should approach those things with caution.
It's Pierce Blutz's spec, yeah.
On recording these things, just remember that the public blockchain, part of the value of this technology is it's totally transparent. We can see every transaction that takes place in the crypto financial system. Anybody can see that data. So if people are trying to hide their gains or taxes, they're not going to get away with that. It's all very transparent system, so very important that people pay capital gains taxes just like on any other asset.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you said that because my son said, I said, come on, how do you know your friends have made $500,000? He said, well, I'll tell you how, because I can see their wallet. There's a wallet with a number beside it. And so if the friend tells you the number of you, then you know it's his account for verification, and you can see what's inside these wallets. So I know what you're saying, and again, in seeing the interface, there is a lot of interesting disclosure taking place for something that was supposed to be, you know, anti-system, anti-government oversight.
It is supposed to be transparent, paradox. Though, Wolf. It is supposed to be transparent, yeah. Exactly what he said. And the one thing I will say about paying tax, Wolf, no one likes paying tax. Everyone hates it. We just got a tax bump here in Canada. But when you pay your tax, you actually get to integrate the money into the real economy and buy other stuff.
Well, so that's a very interesting point, Jack. So what they're doing is they're not integrating the money back in the system. In other words, they're hanging on to those digital assets because they know if they want to get into their bank account, they got to flip the currency back into loonies and then deposit into their bank account, and then you'll have a trace in the Canadian banking system. But Zach, what you're telling me, it doesn't matter. There's already a trace there on the blockchain that is visible to the authorities, correct?
That's correct. Anyone can see these transactions transparently.
But they don't know who the person is.
Oftentimes, diagnostic firms can trace that information. So
really?
Regulators, law enforcement bring a lot of regulatory action against bad actors in the space, and there are ways to identify individuals with addresses. There's a large number of cases. And of course, Grayscale, just to emphasize, we operate within the U.S. regulatory perimeter, offering regulated products like exchange-traded funds. We are delighted to see law enforcement efforts to weed out bad actors in the space. And the diagnostic tools at this point are very sophisticated.
Wow.
Really, it's quite easy to identify, people's activity.
Very, very interesting. In your, how many different funds or ETFs do you offer, and how diverse? Give me the most colorful product that you have, and try to describe and explain to us what's inside it.
Absolutely. So, we have 17 individual digital asset products. Most people start with Bitcoin and then Ethereum, the second largest asset in our market. Maybe one that I would highlight is called Chainlink. This is just one of our many products, but this is a kind of part of the picks and shovels of the blockchain economy. It's a piece of software that connects different networks together as part of the communication between different computer networks, essentially linking the chains together, Chainlink. So that would be one I would say that has been popular recently.
But is Chainlink there for one asset?
Yes, these are.
So you will allow us to you've taken that asset and put it into a publicly traded vehicle. Is it there for in an ETF?
This one, Bitcoin is an ETF. That's the only product to date that has ETF approval in the United States. Canada has a richer ecosystem of these products as well as most countries in Western Europe.
Yeah, we have Purpose. Yeah, Purpose up here is doing a pretty good job.
Correct. Correct. And so Chainlink, the other products trade on the over-the-counter market as a closed-end fund, essentially, or as a
But a typical mutual fund would have 50 stocks in it, or 50 stocks and 30 bonds, or depending on what type of fund you're buying, or maybe 200, a bunch of different stocks. You have diversification. So do you have a fund that has a diverse holding of digital products?
Yes. We have those products as well. The Chainlink example is a single asset product, but we have a decentralized finance fund that holds a collection of assets. We have a smart contract platform fund that holds a collection of assets. So they're both single asset and diversified asset products. Crypto is still growing up and, you know, has matured a long way over the last 15 years. We don't have exactly the, you know, S&P 500 of crypto just yet, but I think, you know, I'm working hard on that type of thing, and I think we will have it in the next year or two, a broadly diversified investment vehicle that resembles what people are used to in traditional index investing.
So here's another one for you. So I have my trouble wrapping my head around, you know, these products that end up getting valued at hundreds of millions of dollars. Again, I said to Elliot, my son, what does it do? And he said, Dad, yeah, honestly, some do absolutely nothing. It's pure garbage. It's about the people who create. I said, I don't get it. Why would someone buy garbage? And he said, look, for example, and he pulled up a page which showed a picture of an Asian man, a wise looking Asian man with a little caption, and that's it. And they gave that a $300 million market. I understand when I buy Microsoft, they're selling boxes of software. Sorry, it's now cloud. When I buy McDonald's, I see lineups, I see franchises, I see international I understand what it. If I buy Goldman Sachs, I know what I'm getting. But when I'm looking at some of these quote-unquote assets, I said, they're not even the puffs of air. But he said, Dad, there's other ones that actually do something to make the blockchain work better. Okay, now I understand. You got that. Or some could be a little bot. So let's go back to how do you separate the wheat from the chaff when you're looking at, because there's gazillions of new assets trading on multiple exchanges. It's complicated.
Yes, correct. And that we are here to help at Grayscale Research. So let me just say first, you know, these are ventures, many cases, venture stage investments. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you look at a portfolio of venture assets, you know, you could say they do nothing, but it's a, you know, it's a team with an idea, with a piece of software that's starting a business. In many cases, these assets should look like that. They may have limited numbers of users, a few hundred users today, but the, you know, the goal is that they grow. So they're venture stage assets that are intended to grow. You know, the important thing is that at some kind of basic level, what you're valuing are computer networks. That's what a blockchain is. It's a computer network, and there's activity on that computer network, and that activity pays fees. So these things have fee revenue. They have things that look like dividends. They have things that look like buybacks. You know, it takes a lot of education time to, you know, to bring people up the learning curve on these topics, but I think you absolutely can evaluate, value these assets and separate the, you know, the green ones from the red ones. I would really emphasize that, you know, the space should be approached carefully. Some of these assets are very volatile, and many of them, as I said, are venture stage. And so, you know, starting with the large core assets, Bitcoin and Ethereum, is really going
100%,
to be
you're right.
The appropriate place for people to start.
I totally agree. That's it. If you're going to start, you start with one of the two highest quality networks. They actually do something. And just to refresh, the Ethereum network is really a network so businesses can transact with other businesses on a global scale and not have to worry about currency fluctuations, et cetera, et cetera. True or false, Zach?
I think that is a good way to put it. It's a decentralized network. I think of it as digital infrastructure that'll power the things you do online in the future. You know, all your online activity, banking, social media, video games, passes through a database that's run by a private company, usually today. In the future, that activity will pass through a public blockchain. We're disintermediating, decentralized intermediaries
really?
That sit on top of online commerce today.
You think social and the social network ends up on the Ethereum blockchain?
Absolutely. Huh. Elon Musk considered it as one option when he was buying Twitter.
Hey, does he have, by the way, does Elon Musk have a, does he have a Concorde? I saw something on social media of with a Concorde, which I thought was decommissioned, that said Tesla on it.
I don't know either,
but I don't know what to believe anymore when it comes to social. Will it going on blockchain make it more real, more honest, or will the gangsters continue to hoodwink us every now and then?
The goal is that it becomes more user-oriented, that, you know, you decentralize the ownership and the control of the network from a single company or a single individual to the users of these platforms. You know, again, these are, we have plenty of working software. There's something called Farcaster that is the most popular social media application in our space. These are small today relative to, you know, to Twitter or other social media applications. But, you know, I'm very enthusiastic about where these are going over time. User-driven platforms is part of the goal. My own expectation is that a huge portion, you know, like in my view, the majority of online commerce will pass through these networks in the future. And that's what you're investing in this space, is a kind of digital infrastructure that'll be part, integral part of how the internet works, you know, 10 and 20 years from now.
Grayscale Investments, if you're interested, research at Grayscale Investments. Zach Pandel, he's the managing director of research at Grayscale Investments. I got it right eventually. That was fabulous. I hope you do come up to Toronto and come into the Canaccord offices and do a presentation on your products. Very, very intrigued. Excellent work, Zach. And I want to thank, I guess, our partner in the United States, Michael Graham, who you obviously know very, very well as well.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. We're going to speak with Jason Sleeth. He's a managing director, head of private placement exchange program, investment banking as well, of course, at Canaccord. Always on the ball, very, very current, big brain. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we talk in crypto with him as well, Jack?
I'm sure you could delve into it for sure.
More show. We're ready for this.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto.
Welcome back. Deep Purple, anybody? You know that song, Jack?
I know Deep Purple, not that song.
You don't know this good. You're being honest. You're being honest. Little Deep album cut for you, baby. That's a cool. I think I gave you that record.
Smoke Deep on the Water. I know that one.
I gave you the Deep Purple record. It's, I think it was their first record, and it just said Deep Purple on it. And yes, Smoke on the Water was on it. We'll play that maybe next for you. But cool tune. Jason Sleeth, managing director. He's head of private placement at Canaccord Investment Banking. He helps companies raise money and, well, helps institutional investors put on some good trades and looks for rate of change, shall I say. You've been all over copper lately, Jason. Copper looks pretty good. Most things don't. Are there more legs in copper, you think, from here, Chase?
Yeah. I think there is, and, you know, and I kind of sit back and look at the broader market. You know, this week, as you know, that on Monday, the S&P broke the 50-day moving average. That seemed to spark a bunch of panic. Naturally, the next historical key support level is that 100-day moving average. Everybody's got their eye on that. It's 49.31, so insert gulp sound. But listen, if you go back to the charts last fall when the market was churning, those moving averages were critical, so we're watching it. And then you had the Reddit rollover, more people spooked, and the financial communities wanted reasons for the IPO window to open, and now it's really on shaky ground. So, but despite all that, and some people even call it all noise, as you're pointing out, like there is some good things happening out there. And copper is definitely one of them. Capstone and Ivanhoe, you look at those charts, like I think they're already up 10 to 20%.
We own Ivanhoe. So Jason, let me tell you where I'm coming from, and then help me, please. Let's do a little bit of money management workshop here. You see a lot of things. I see other things. And we see some things together. We actually bought Ivanhoe. That's interesting. What I see is a lot of broken charts right now, Jason. It's the semiconductors. The SOX broke. I think the Philly semi-index broke. NVIDIA is the last man standing, and I think NVIDIA has to have a big pause and give some money back before you can turn the other way up. But Applied Materials or Arista Networks, you go down the board, you're seeing weakness in semis and software, without question. Even Microsoft broke its 50-day moving average. Apple is, I wouldn't touch it here. It is pointing lower, as is Tesla. Amazon holding, Google holding, Meta holding, banks mixed, healthcare mixed. You know what's working, Jace? And Jack is a captain, a former captain in the Canadian Reserves. Salute our troops at home, is defense stocks. They're working. Lockheed Martin, we don't own them. Lockheed Martin and General Dynamics have great charts, and most charts look lower to me. What is that telling us? Jack says, do you think maybe we're going to war? I'm not laughing.
Yeah. Well, listen, the geopolitical risk is on the rise. But there's also a play here, I think, in that people are realizing that there's a lot of new technology being deployed, administered, and utilized in the defense space that hasn't been appreciated to the same degree.
They got the drone business. They just switch. What, the switchblades, Jack, are they?
That's right, yeah.
Who makes that product?
AV.
AV. Yeah, switchblades.
It's some really cool stuff, and the reality is for the last 12 months, everyone's had their eye on just AI data centers and what's happening on your tablet as opposed to the deployment and efficiencies and developments in the defense space. So I think it's time for somebody else.
GE's the other one that's been working very, very well after its slice and dice and split up and restructure. GE Defense is absolutely riffing. Boeing, on the other hand, I guess they're losing too many doors mid-flight because they have a big defense section as well, but that stock is not working. But copper is whoever they are, have always said copper has a PhD in economics because you use it and everything. So if copper demand is rising, that means the economy is strong. Copper goes into cars, copper goes into houses, copper is underground, copper goes up poles, copper is. So why is copper going up right now, Jace?
Well, it's, as you pointed out, I think there's a recognition that there's more economic strength globally than people were willing to admit for the last few years. Like, frankly, if you listen to economists or strategists last year,
oh God,
95% of people would have not participated in any of the rally. But now you open the newspaper or you watch TV, listen to the radio, you hear about China economy starting to improve. It's it's not great, but it's not terrible.
Trust me, that story is not on television. That China story not on TV. It's in the Wall Street Journal, I think, but it is not. By the time it's on television, Jace, I'm just helping everyone out here. By the time that China story is on television, get out of it. It's over. It's done. Done. It's a page 16 story in the Wall Street Journal. That's where you find the ideas. And by the way, Jace, if those people, if they were listening to Hi-Fi Radio for the last 12 months, they did not miss out. Go to the Wolfgang Klein, Wolf on Bay Street website. They participated. Guess what? Selling 3% from the all-time high? I don't think that's a bad idea, Jace. You tell me it is.
No, listen, you've been bang on. You've seen some of these green shoots in the market or trends that are working and sticking with them, right? I like to say the trend is your friend. Also, this idea of trying to pick the bottom is a complete mug's game.
I'm trying to pick a top here. I'm trying to do the opposite. And I wrote these things. I book and profit it. Jace, I have 60% in cash. Look, we're going to I want you to ponder that number. I don't know too many clients and advisors out there who are advising such a heavy cash. And I'm not advising anything. I'm following trend. If it's a sell the stock, I sell it. All right, I got 60% cash. I'm not trying to get to any level of cash. I don't see a lot to buy. Copper looks good, as Jay's talking, but beyond that, I see a lot of issues out there. I'm not negative. I'm just being factual and honest. Markets do ebb and flow, and a typical annual correction of 10% is, Jack, very
natural and normal.
Thank you. Hi-Fi Radio, 640 in Toronto. You want to have more money? This is the station. This is the show. Turn it up. Crank it up. Full tilt. It is Saturday night. Let's have some fun. Stay tuned.
Want to make more money? Stay tuned for more Hi-Fi Radio on 640 Toronto. We'll be right back.
You know the song, my friends? You know what they do in that song? Same thing I learned in cooking school. And this is where universal truths come out. But Jack, pay attention. It's where universal truths come out. You got to layer things in slowly. A little this, little that. When you want to build good food, layer in flavors from stock to wine to herbs for effervescence, to, of course, salt to pepper to, you know, different cooking techniques to bring out sweetness and flavor. So you layer in flavor. Italian cooking is known for layering flavor. Same with music. Notice how that began, right? We got the little bass guitar thing going. By the way, if you're a guitar player, it's one of the first songs we used to learn in the 80s to play. You know, the power chords, and away you go, some smoke on the water. But you start with the guitar, throw in the bass, wait a little bit, then you got the little hi-hat drums, then you got the snare, then you got the vocals. Layer it in. Same with building a portfolio, managing money. It's no different. You layer in a little this and a little that, and you got to manage it. And don't burn the pot. No siree. Jason Sleeth, what do you think of that little intro, pal?
I love it. Great culinary advice, but you're right. It's it can be used in almost any industry, and particularly in financial industry and investment. So we were, before the break, we touched a little bit on just the demand side around copper, and that there is an economic engine growing out there, and it's China, as you mentioned, people aren't talking about it really yet. India as well, now the world's most populous country, essentially the fastest growing significant country out there, will be the third largest economy soon. There is a lot of development happening out there that we are just starting to pay attention to again, finally. But the other aspect is, supply demand drives everything, and so demand's okay. And supply, copper was woefully underinvested for years, right? And so now we're seeing the repercussions of that, where there isn't enough supply. Inventories are going to tighten. There's also geopolitical risks that are impacting supplies as well. So I think you're seeing a combination of that culminating here. And it's finally showing up in the sector, because the valuations of most of the stocks are quite cheap on a cash flow basis, so, which we haven't been able to say for a long time. But now you start to use the curve to put it into your models, cash flow expectations to build a DCF for a XYZ company, and they look very attractive. Ivanhoe, we talked about, it's one of the house favorites, but right now, if you want to look at one name, we like Hudbay.
I had a feeling you mentioned that one. That's been a very stable, long-running Canadian copper play. I used to know the CFO of that company. He used to actually coach my son, and you and I traded their bonds before, Jack.
We did.
That was actually, have you ever looked at the bonds in some of these mining companies? Because you can get some really juicy yields. I'm just curious. Let's start with that, Jace. Have you seen the bonds of Hudbay? They must have some debt in them. If you know them, what's the yield on them?
The yield now, I think, is double digit still.
So Jack like that.
Well, it is double digit, reflecting the cyclicality of the business. But like you said, Hudbay is one of the highest quality
in
miners
Canada.
In Canada.
Yeah. So it's double digit. Like, can you get 12-13% on a piece of debt from them?
Yeah, depending on the actual line of paper that you're buying, but yeah.
Yeah, not bad. Well, mortgage rates clipped over 7% in the United States. And, Jace, I raised a lot of cash, as indicated, not because I wanted to raise cash, just because stocks were breaking down, and I respect trend. But buying a T-bill getting 5% is not a bad shake in this world. I haven't seen something like that in a couple of decades. Last couple of months, yes, but you know what I'm saying? It's been a long time coming that you could actually park in risk-free and get 5 points.
The other thing that we're seeing, through all of this turbulence is a continued focus on the alternative space. And I know it's not a stock, it's not a bond. Alts tend to look like private investments or infrastructure investments, but the reality is...
I'll take alt rock. I don't know about alt investments, man. So what's good? Let's talk, because I've seen a lot of alts that are complete crap. Give me where do you start with the highest quality? Like, again, if you're going to trade crypto, as our last guest said, Zach Panda, you buy Bitcoin, you buy Ethereum, if you're going to start, buy the best of the best.
By the best.
So in terms of alts, give us the best of the best.
Well, Brookfield is world-class asset manager, even Onyx in Canada is. But you have
Are
others,
they alts?
But
you consider them alts?
Well, they have alt funds, right?
Oh, so they're funds.
They have funds that are focused on this. KKR would be another world-class company. Now, the challenge, of course, is getting access to those funds. It's usually reserved for pension funds. and really large institutions to participate. But there are emerging products, whether it be through ETFs or other products through folks like Our Crowd, Overbay, Investex, that are now allowing retail investors to get access to those type of high-quality infrastructure alt investments. Not the sketchy stuff, as you say. I think that's where you want to start. And investors don't have the experience of the big drawdowns, longer term, have higher returns. Of course, you're lacking liquidity. So Jack was mentioning, you know, some of the cyclicality risk around a miner that, you know, forces a higher yield, requires a higher yield or return for your investment. Similarly, in if you're investing in alts because you don't have the daily liquidity per se, you're going to be compensated through a higher return over time. So a patient investor that wants to avoid some of the turbulence that we're going through right now, I think that's a good place to go hunting. And then the, you know, circle back what we talked about on the last time I was with you guys, is the TMX Group. And this is...
We bought that, yes. Good, go on.
So through thick and thin, I say play X to win, X being the ticker of the company.
X to win, I like that. That's a very I like that idea. That I can get my head around, the TMX. Jace, that was amazing. Jack, sorry, we're running out of time, but quick 30 seconds of wisdom from you, Jack.
In terms of AltWolf, I like to actually own the companies. Own BAM, own Blackstone, own Apollo, own the companies that create those products. Align yourself with the management. Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Jack Hartle, brilliance. Jason Sleeth, the managing director, good friend of mine. I see him in the halls, and I really, really enjoy rubbing shoulders with you. You got a great alt brain. That's a compliment, by the way. We'll play some more alt rock next week when we do the show. Real pleasure, my good friend. That's it, my good friends. I hope it helped. We're here for you. You have any questions? WolfgangKlein.com, the Wolf on Bay Street.com. We love what we do. We're good at what we do. And I'll prove it to you. Go to our website and look at our returns. Our clients are very happy people. You can be happy too. Give us a call. Have a great weekend. Love you.
You've been listening to Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hartill, portfolio managers at Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. For questions about today's show or any questions about money, email wolfandjack@wolfgangklein.com. Hi-Fi Radio, for the love of money. Join us again next week. The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Chorus Entertainment.